Well, hello, hello, hello. You know something? It's Coach Toy back on Speak to Me First podcast show. My upcoming guest today, I am excited, even though what we're going to talk about, believe it or not, is the subject of grief. Grief recovery, you know, anything about grief you can imagine, especially of a loved one or a child. In my case, I actually lost a child, so I'm pretty interested to find out what Santu Eve Carter has to say about that, and also most important about grief support. So she has a lot of groups out there. She's spearheading a lot of groups, and I wanted to learn more about her background, her journey with grief as well. And not only that, but how do we manage it, and what are some things that are going on that we should know about, you know, just being human. We just need to know more about grief. Most of us are terrified when we think about it. And then some of us are just, you know, we're just fine. We understand it. We rely on faith, etc. But, you know, I'm not going to put my two cents in right now. I want my guests to do all this talking and bring us up to speed. And again, welcome, welcome, my guest, Santu, S-A-N-T-O-U, Eve, E-V-E Carter. Santu Eve Carter, come on in, come on in. Welcome, welcome. How are you?
I'm all right, you?
Good, good, good. It's great to see you again. I know we connected on Coach Tina. She has a group, and we just happened to have, you know, attended her events on several occasions, as a matter of fact. But, you know, you can go to a lot of these things, and you never really connect with anybody on there. So I'm so thankful that you were even interested in coming on Speak to Me First podcast show, and that I might add, you may actually be my first guest internationally, because you're based in
London, UK.
Well, say that out loud again. Where are you?
London, UK.
Yes, yes. Okay, excellent, excellent. I do have some family members in London, different parts of London. Yes, I do. So, well, first of all, you know, the topic of grief in and of itself, and people say, well, how can you smile? How can you smile? You know, for me, the smile comes with, it's not the frown turned upside down. Maybe years ago, it probably was, but now I have gone through my own journey with grief, which is why I was really interested, not only because you also have grief, or you know, basically grief support services, which many of us need, but we don't seek out this. So I want to just dive right into it. Tell us, you know, what exactly do you do in terms of grief support services and your background as an advanced grief specialist?
Yeah, so I really I find it very rewarding to deal with what I would call difficult death. So, It's traumatic death that people experience. So cancer is considered a traumatic death because you're watching someone become emaciated and die before your eyes. Sudden death, a mother losing a child is very traumatic. That's one of the most difficult deaths that there is, as you might know.
Yes.
Death by suicide, overdose, all the really sort of challenging traumatic deaths. Because I've got a specialism not only in grief, but in trauma and suicidology. So that's where I really like to jump in and help people the most. I find that the most rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right that a lot of people don't seek out support. And with trauma, early intervention is key. And not everyone knows how to address people who might be stuck in their grief and they can't move forward because it's just been so traumatic and they maybe aren't recognizing that.
Wow. And see, that's one of the things that you said right off the bat. I mean, you just right out the gate with this. I love it.
Yes.
And, you know, we often think, well, grief is, it just sounds like something we just don't want to talk about it. But we all at some point will have to deal with grief, whether you're young, you know, middle-aged, very elderly, what have you. And we do deal with it in our own ways and time. But you said the key word, recognize. Maybe you do need help, or you've gone years, you've never got any help. And that grief is rearing its ugly head again. Tell us, you know, who are your clients that you serve, and how, you know, powerful is it for people to really connect with you at that level?
So as a therapist, I deal with all kinds of clients with presenting issues. So it's wide ranging, and I'm not really selective. I'm really here to serve and to help people with whatever issue that they bring. And because I've got such a wide range of training, I am able to help a wide range of people. I have worked with mothers who have lost children. I've worked with someone whose family has MND, motor neuron disease. So, father died, the sister is now dying. So it runs in the family, MND. So there are different members of the family who are dying, and I'm supporting her in that. There's a wide range of clients that I work with. But I wanted to mention, before I forget, that there's actually, and people may not know this, but within a loss, not necessarily death, but within loss, death is one of them, but with loss, you've got secondary and primary loss. Mm-hmm. And so I work with people who have secondary loss as well. So this can be loss of a home, loss of a country, you know, due to forced emigration or, you know, political issues going on in the country, loss of a pet. So there's a lot of grief that can come from loss that isn't necessarily about death. Mm-hmm. I just want people to realize that grief can manifest in people if it's not processed. And if I may add something as well, you were talking about grief manifesting, that I know one client who said that she ended up overworking because she didn't want to deal with grief. Mm-hmm. So workaholism can deepen. Alcoholism is a big feature when people try to numb the pain with alcohol or substance abuse, you know, or just substances in general of various types. Again, you know, they're not wanting to process the pain. They find it easier to just numb the pain. Some people turn to medication, like antidepressants. And I'm going to say my bugbear is when doctors prescribe antidepressants for people who are actually grieving. They're two completely different issues. Grief is not depression. Depression has a whole different other manifestation, and that is around belief and a lot of other things. I could have a whole other podcast.
Yes.
Grief is not depression. Grief is something different, and it's about a situation that's happened to you, not about a belief you have about yourself, which is mostly what depression is.
Wow.
That's a very simplistic way of saying it. Mm-hmm. So, there's a lot of ways that grief can manifest itself with negative side effects in your life, which is why it's so important to process it with effective support. Sometimes family members can help, sometimes they can't. Sometimes friends can help, sometimes they turn their back on you when you're in grief. You might know this because they are afraid of upsetting you, they don't know what to say, they don't have the skills to be able to help you process it, to be able to move forward. Not move on, move forward. Carrying the grief with you, because you never get rid of it. It's not like an illness that you cure or get rid of. You carry it with you, but you carry it with a sense of hope of reconnection at some point, and a sense of living on their behalf, living for them. That can create a sense of joy in you to say, I'm doing this for you. No, look at me.
Yes.
If you believe in, you know, the afterlife, which I do. So, mm-hmm. If you process it, you're not going to stay stuck in the grief. And I really do urge people to process it, because there are gains you can receive when you think it through, when you think about the value, when you think about identity. There are gains that can come from loss. But if you're not processing that, you're not thinking that through, you're not going to see what I'm talking about. You're going to go, what gains? This is a horrible situation. They're not going to really understand that. So.
Yeah, Absolutely, because excuse me, people get stuck in the fact that there is a loss, so we don't see the gain. And I, you know, like I said, and I realize you are a certified grief educator, and you're going to educate us today. That's for sure. And you have. I also mentioned you were an advanced grief specialist. You know, your profile is out there. So many people, once this is over, they'll go check all of those things out. And we're going to make sure that if you're out there, I want to say to my guests, you know, I've been talking to Santu Eve, E-V-E, Carter, C-A-R-T-E-R, and she is on LinkedIn as well as Facebook, and you will be able to connect with her, and she'll leave all of her information before we close. But I wanted to say one of the things too is that you mentioned process. If you don't process something, as in anything in life, you tend to spin your wheels. And interesting enough for me, and I've said this when I share my story of losing my only child. I don't have any other children. I was not married at the time. I was in my early, 20s, living the life, you know. And then was real truly blessed with my beautiful daughter named Kiana with a Q. Myself and her father, we both lost, you know, and then that would be his family and it would be my family. And people sometimes they don't know, your friends and or family members, how do they deal with that? Because it is the most, according to psychiatrists and psychologists, medical professionals in general, that is the most traumatic loss, is the loss of a child. And the more I read about that, I was like, wow, okay. I was thinking, well, there are 5 stages. Kubler-Ross, she had a book. I read that in college, and it talked about the 5 stages of grief. But I've had other guests, and I said, well, you know, I kind of tend to say, no, there are more than 5 stages. It may have been 5 stages back then, but we know that trauma, anxiety, and everything else in life with grief, it brings on a whole new set of variables to deal with. Am I on the right track with that?
Can I just correct you just a little bit around the Kubler-Ross book? The 5 stages that you're referring to, it was for the 5 stages of dying.
Yes. Yes.
Because
that's true.
A psychiatrist who worked with the dying.
Right.
She worked very closely with them, and she developed a pattern of some of the predominant emotions that the dying have. And, you know, by no means does she say that they are progressive stages, that it wasn't a linear process. They were just 5 main categories of emotions that people manifested as they were dying.
Yes.
So,
you're right. But interesting enough, even the ones that are caretakers, now they're dealing with I'm angry. They went through the 5 stages and then some, to my reference. But yeah, I get what you're saying. If the focus was on the person that was dying and things, and they would talk about it as well as they could, you know, exhibited all these different types of behaviors. But yeah, the person sitting on the other side watching this happen and unfold, they that grieving process starts even before the person actually is deceased, which is just something. And then
and there's a name for that too. It's called anticipatory grief.
Uh-huh.
And it's the grief you feel before someone dies, and then you have the shock that comes after they die.
Yes.
A whole lot of jumbled emotions, because it's like a jumbled rubber band ball.
Yes.
After
yes.
Grief. There's a wide range of emotions that happen.
Yes. Yes. And by the way, if anybody's listening, you know, and they want to, that may be still a good book that's out there, you know, if they're going, someone is in that stage right now and they're a caretaker or a family member or friend, a loved one. But yeah, but in terms of the actual grief process, and between the time that, you know, this happens with a family member or whomever it happens to, a loved one, you know, how long does it take them typically to seek out help? Your support services.
I thought you were going to go somewhere else with that question, and I was like really keen to answer that. May I?
Go ahead. Yes.
And then I'll come back.
Go ahead.
And this will relate to your question as well. workplaces, for example, will give you, what, maybe a few days a week. Society will give you about 3 months to get over your grief. Actually, grief can take, minimum a year. Generally, it takes 2 years just to be able to kind of function and kind of re-see your old life again. But it can take up to 5 years or more. It really depends on the person. And what I want to say in terms of, I do assessments for people, but something generally you can kind of look out for is if someone is still experiencing the intensity of that grief sort of 2 years on and they're still withdrawing and hiding in their house and they're not kind of progressing in their grief, that's when you know it's what's called complicated grief or prolonged grief. And that's when you absolutely need to seek help. So to answer your question, how long does it take for people to seek out help? It really varies. So let me say one more thing. That there are some organizations and charities who will say, you need to have grieved a minimum 3 months before we can see you. And in a free resource that I have on my website, I write about this, and I write about why certain organizations put a minimum wait period, and I kind of say, absolutely not. People need to access grief at the point of their need. They should be able to access their grief at any time that they want to. There should not be a minimum wait time, nor really is it ethical to offer them a short amount of support. So a lot of charities or organizations will offer 6 weeks, 8 weeks, maybe they might extend it to 12 weeks. You know, it will vary. But again, people ought to be able to see someone for as long as they need to without having to chop and change different counselors or therapists to get the full support that they need.
Right. And you did mention counselors and or therapists or both, because like I said, there's a difference between a psychologist and a psychiatrist, and some may recognize, even counselors may recognize, wait a minute, you're actually depressed, or you're in the beginning stages from the trauma that you've lost someone very close to you. And I wanted to ask you that too. Sometimes the person is really not that close to you, you know. But you feel something, you know, you just feel like, oh, wow, and then, you know, like you go on whatever you're looking at, your social media, whatever, which is interesting in itself, of itself. But people will rein right into that. And someone has, you know, we lost someone, an iconic person or what have you, and then we feel it. And then it may take you back to that stage where you had your own personal. Yeah.
Exactly. So that sometimes we might get triggered, you know, 5 deaths down the road, that person may not be close to us, it might be a public figure, something gets triggered, and it's triggering unprocessed loss from before, from say, perhaps a close death. So this is why it's important to grieve each death as it comes. You cannot grieve multiple deaths at once. The brain can't do it. So you need to intentionally set aside time to grieve one person at a time, and try not to skip that process. Skip the people, because it will catch up to you later on. Mm. Something will trigger you.
Wow.
And you'll be floored. Well, where coming from? Why is my body heavy? Why can't I function? Why can't I get to work? Why am I not productive at work, or can't concentrate? So yeah, there's a lot that, because people, I don't understand why people don't recognize that death of a close person is hugely significant. It's a huge stress on your life. Why is society like discounting it and saying, just get on with life, you know, they're gone, but just get on with it? I mean, that's a very reductionist way of addressing this. Firstly, I don't believe that they're gone. Their spirit or their soul, their energy continues to live, and you can't have a continuing relationship with them. So why would you just cut them out of your life and move on? Mm-hmm. You move forward with their love and their spirit and their energy still living inside of you. And that connection can happen anytime you wish it to. So there's something about intentionality here that's really important and not discounting.
And intentionality. Wow. That summed it up. And I wanted to say, as I'm listening to this and intently, it's just kind of fascinating your take on it. And this is what I have to say to my listeners. Listen, everyone has their own beliefs. Some of us have faith. Some of us lean on faith. Some of us are faithless, or we don't have that whole thing. We're not, we just don't. So there's going to be, you have to do it individually, whatever works for you. If you have faith and you lean on your faith, by all means, that's what you do. So there's no right or wrong way in terms of grieving. I just want people to know today as they're listening that when you need help, and I found that even if you think you don't need help, that's probably when you probably need help. Just dealing with your feelings in general through grief support services.
Yeah. And the thing is, even if you don't think you need help, there's no harm in trying it out because you control how long you go for, right?
Right.
So you can just stop whenever it's not working for you. But to deprive yourself or deny yourself the opportunity to explore the meaning of the relationship, does that relationship some disservice? So there's no harm in trying. There really isn't. I mean, grief therapists out there are not there to harm you or hurt you. So there really is no harm in trying. And I do want to say, so you were making a distinction between psychologists and psychotherapists. That's right.
Psychologists versus psychiatrists versus psychologists. That's what I mentioned.
Yeah. There's a difference between those, and there's a difference between counselors and therapists.
Yes.
As well. So I just wanted to kind of
mention
that as well. What people tend to go for are grief counselors who have the least amount of training, and there is no training on grief specifically in the counseling training. And I would say so for a lot of therapy training as well. I had to get extra training. I had to invest a lot of money into extra training because this is the area I wanted to specialize in. Because it was a major theme in my entire life. I come from a family of genocide survivors.
Okay.
So that theme of secondary loss, primary loss was big in my life. So it was a real passion of mine to be studying this and to be helping people as effectively as I could. Some people may have very little or general training, whereas I've got specialty training.
Yeah, and you took what happened in your own life journey, and I happen to be a certified life coach. It's amazing with our life's journey, we're all individuals, and you took that and turned it around to help other people. So, that is truly phenomenal in and of itself. When the loss of my daughter, was in my early 20s, I wasn't thinking about grief or loss or any of that. I mean, both of my parents were alive then, and most of my family and members were alive. I hadn't really, the one person, I didn't even know the person that passed away, but, I guess I was with somebody going to choir practice, and the lady said, oh, we're going to make a stop because so-and-so passed away. And it just so happened, it was a young man, and he was only about 10 or 11 years old. So I'm just sitting, in this environment, just kind of like, oh, when are we going to go to choir practice? Not connecting the dots that, oh, this is something really going on here that's serious. It was a loss of life, and it was actual, homegoing for this young man. So after that, I was thinking, it didn't affect me, but now as you mature, you get older, and I say, wow, and from time to time, I think, wow, that was my first bout with understanding the death, of someone else, but in fact, I didn't even know them, and they just happened to be a child of 10 and 11. That I do remember the age. But moving forward, when people say, and you mentioned that, you know, people say, well, okay, well, this happened so long ago, you know, but if it's your child, it's a different, it's something very distinctively different, because as people say, we don't typically look at it in the order of you are burying your children, they are to, you know, say goodbye to you. And so that's what makes it distinctively different across the board. But again, you know, I didn't seek anybody. I really, the first person I thought about, you know, I said, oh, there's a church was around the corner. I didn't live far from it, where we had the service. And I remember on one specific day, just going to that person and say, listen, I knocked on the door. I said, hey, is, you know, the pastor so-and-so here? I just need to talk. I said, I just need to talk. I didn't even know what I was going to talk about. And it, what happened that length of time hadn't gone by, but I, all I remember was just feeling the feeling of loneliness. And so for the people that are coming into your space, into that grief support services, when you're having meetings and everything, are most people just feeling lonely, or, you know, at that time, or different things going on?
If I may, I'm going to offer a different word that I think has hopefully a bit more depth to it, a depth of understanding. I'm going to use the word disconnection. And because disconnection can bring up a whole lot of feeling, more than just loneliness. Because, you know, with grief, it's a complex range of emotions that people feel.
Yeah.
And it's the disconnection that creates that range of feelings, I mean. So, you know, as a therapist, I will work with, as I mentioned, secondary loss, right? So I'll work with families where the parents and the children have disconnected, even though they're still living. There's that disconnection there. And the child's going off to play games all the time. They don't talk to the parent anymore. That disconnection can create loneliness from the parent saying, where's my child gone? You know, we used to play and have fun. We used to go to the park, you know, all that. So, yes, that disconnection can create loneliness, it can create anger, it can create all sorts of emotions, right?
Yes.
And that disconnection is intensified after a passing of someone, right?
Right, so, right. Wow.
Because they won't kind of physically see them again.
Right.
And what I do is I help people to reestablish a connection in their heart, in their mind, and through their imagination, through different ways. They can reconnect in other ways than the physical.
Yes, absolutely. And I thank you so much for, you know, even in bringing that up, because like I said, as an individuals, you have to go through, you have your own grieving process, the way how you handle it. We all have different personalities. You know, if I'm kind of the one, well, no, this has to be this has to be that. I'm more of that organized person. And then all of a sudden you strip something away. I'm like, whoa, what happened? Okay. And so when you talk about disconnect and of course in death and as well in life, you know, we're here, but you're gone, and we have to deal with those emotions. And a lot of times the emotions just were never dealt with, meaning your relationship, because there's something about that, the person that passed away, but what was your relationship with the person that passed away? You know, and then now you're like, oh, I'm angry at myself because I didn't talk to them more, or you know, I didn't see them more. I don't, and me personally, I don't like to fly. So I'm like, oh my goodness, that kind of stifles me, right? I can't just travel where I want to travel to see the person as much often as I wanted to. So we you know, there's some guilt there.
Absolutely. It's a very common phenomenon. I'm glad you're bringing that up. Guilt is huge. In grief after a passing, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. And one of the things I want to mention is that my training. So a lot of counselors or therapists tend to use the individual approach when working with a person, whereas my training is in systemic family therapy. So I quite like working with families who have gone through grief, because each individual expresses and processes their grief in individual ways, but it all impacts the whole family, because people have different kinds of relationships, and that is what death is about. It's about the loss of a very unique relationship that each individual member of the family has.
Well, when you said the thing, You said family, and then you said individual. And like you said, the relationship. Don't want to lose sight of that for our listeners. You know, I've been talking and chopping it up with Santu Eve Carter. Yes, an advanced grief specialist. I got all your titles here. I got them all written down. Grief support services that you offer. Certified grief educator. And you've really been educating us. And again, you know, everyone can have a difference of opinion about how to deal with grief, when you should seek help. But for today's purposes, without me, which I'm not a clinical anything, I'm not a medical professional, I am just someone who has had my own personal experience, my own personal loss with my daughter, which was the most traumatic and still in many ways is, which is why I love to talk about it, because I said, why hide it? Why not talk about it? You know, because there's someone out there that has gone through it and they just don't know what to do. So.
And there are certain types of trauma training. So some are more body-based, some are more talking-based. And I'm more of the talking-based. And there are some talking therapies specifically for trauma where actually talking about it is healing. So if anything, I want people to understand that I don't mean just talking for the sake of it. Like, there's a particular kind of intervention or a therapeutic model where talking can be healing. So talking for the talking sake can just re-trigger your trauma. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about specific focused therapy for a particular trauma style that can be healing for people. So when I say talking is healing, that's what I mean. But there's also the element of mystery. You never know who you're talking to that might say something to you just anecdotally that might be healing for you as well.
Yes.
So again, it's about intentionality to heal that trauma, but also being open to whatever is happening in your life, whatever people you come into in your network, or, you know, strangers on the street. Like, who knows? There's that mystery that makes life spontaneous and somewhat fun, because there can be healing that happens spontaneously in a variety of ways, through music, whatever.
Yes.
It can happen as well. So stay open to it.
Yes, stay open to it. I love that. I love that, how you even ended on that note. You know, for my listeners out there, you want to, again, it's not all about, you know, moving on, but you can move forward, I believe, in grief, in your journey. And what we're both saying is, look, you need help, seek it, get it. Don't wait. Make the phone call. Ask a family or friend. If there's someone you really trust and you're comfortable with speaking to them, I would encourage all the listeners to make sure that you seek out, especially grief support services. And, you know, if you need to talk with someone privately, then you just really make sure that that's what it is. If you may not want to go to a group. You may not want to be. You know, I remember going to one group I went for probably twice, and everybody was just so the cries were just disturbing for me, but it wasn't necessarily that, because I could shed a tear myself then, but it was more about the way people lost their particular loved one. And that wasn't in my case, you know. I lost my daughter to congenital heart disease, so it wasn't, you know. So somebody else said, well, you know, unfortunately, someone may have committed suicide, and there was everybody in that room had a different journey. And I just sort of somewhat felt out of place. And then I realized, I said, this particular group isn't for me. And I realized later, well, it just is that particular group. It doesn't mean that you couldn't go to another group. And I never did. I never went back. I never went to another group or anything like that. But I'm just saying, for those listeners, don't just stop at one. One may not be, you know, it's not a one size fits all on your grief journey. And that includes services. So
right.
I have one question as we're going to wrap this up. Santu Eve Carter, I just love saying your name, because you're out there on social media. Santu, S-A-N-T-O-U. And middle name Eve, E-V-E. And it may not be a middle name, but it's all attached. But you will see it out there on LinkedIn as Santu Eve Carter. And also, you said on Facebook, which you're going to give listeners where they can reach you. I want to ask you a question before we close. With all of your background, I just want to say, you know, what actually made you, if you can condense it for me, why did you become a grief specialist, if you will? I know you have several titles, but what is the number one reason why you delve into this particular industry?
I think it's because I don't like to see people suffering, and suffering unnecessarily. And I'm a big believer in making meaning of life to help us with our identity and our life purpose and our life meaning. Meaning's big for me. So, and also I want to offer people hope. That was really instilled in me. And so that's what I offer people, a release from unnecessary suffering to step into hope. And it is the most rewarding work I've done. You know, it comes on par with working with children. I absolutely love working with children. So the two of them are think equal. I just love it. And they're both very rewarding work.
Wow. And you said it. You said it. And that's one. First of all, it's rewarding, you said. And then, you know, somebody actually may want to start talking to you or connect with you and find out, you know, maybe they want to be on that path to becoming to help other people as well. So you would be the one to talk to. I can assure you that. Well, this comes to somewhat of the conclusion of our podcast today. I really don't want to let you go. I know we can go all over the place with this. We're still smiling. We have a smile on our faces for those of you that may only be able to listen to the audio. We're smiling because, you know, you may be individually in a good space with your grief journey. Right now, I'm in a good place with my grief journey. It was the loss of my only child. So it's a forever grieving process, which I realize that may be for someone else who may have, you know, suffered from something that I did, but or family. Also shout out to the fathers out there, because it's not just the mom that lost their child. There's also the fathers as well. So we have to include that. But in general, I want to know, you got something good coming up. Please tell us before you leave, where can people connect with you? On what social media platforms is the best way to reach out to you? And do you have an event coming up that you like to share?
I do. I have two events, actually, if I may say both. But the more immediate event coming up is a celebration of St. Valentine. But I'm reinventing the day to celebrate immortal love. So it's an event. There's one on this coming Sunday, 12th of February 2003, and then another one on Valentine's Day itself. For those who want to share and talk about someone that they love who's passed away, there's different things I'm inviting them to do, such as bring pictures, bring jewelry if they've got one from a loved one, share stories. We're going to be what I call an edu-conversational cafe. So there'll be a little bit of education as well. But there's more than just one type of love, right? There's more than just romantic love. And I'm going to be talking about at least three. There's more, but I'm going to talk about at least three different types of love, and to really honor that. So it'll be a warm, inclusive, and supportive community for that. I also have, as you know, I love educating and education, so I'm doing a 6-week series for a show called Family Education Series, and that is also talking about dying and bereavement, and that's on now. And both of these, the information and the links for those you can find on my Facebook page, and the URL is Facebook, and then grief support services global. That's my Facebook business page, Grief Support Services Global, and you can find the post for both of those events there.
Mm-hmm. Great. Excellent.
Yeah,
and also on LinkedIn, where you and I connected, the name Santu, Santou, and middle name says Eve, Eve, last name Carter. So that's where I connected and also followed you. And we will be posting your podcast interview that will be uploaded there as well as YouTube. So again, and I'm Toy Johnson Vincent, motivational speaker, certified life coach, HR consultant, and podcast host of Speak to Me First podcast show. So definitely the information is going to be out there, and I'm encouraging all of our listeners to keep up with Santu Eve Carter. You may not need her services right now, but you may know someone who does need her services right now. And for all of those, just FYI, you are based in London.
Yes, but I work internationally.
But you work internationally.
Yeah. And I'll add one more thing, that if people would like a free resource that they can download from my website, I've titled it, You Don't Have to Say Goodbye. And it's about five ways of staying connected with your loved ones. That free resource is available on my website, which is www.griefsupport.co. So, you know, that you can contact me from that website, you can download that resource, and there's a lot more pages and more information on my website than there is on Facebook. So,
yes. Yes, absolutely. So make sure, you know, for my listeners, just go on out there and get the information from Santu Eve Carter. I want to thank you so much for you, you know, joining me today. This was awesome, an awesome experience. I know you're 5 hours ahead of me because you're in London in the UK, you know, and normally I say, how about a spot of tea? You know, and I just happen to love my tea. That's what I drink regularly. I love it. So I thank you so much, Santu, for coming on today. And you know, you're gonna just be looking forward to hearing more about your projects, what you're doing, and you are offering an awesome service to people who are in a bereavement stage and grief stages, and various, it just varies from individual to individual. And like you said, you know, you have a free download about You Don't Have to Say Goodbye. So, and I wish you well on your project coming up for Valentine's Day. I think that's the sweetest thing that you can offer for people who are in that space. Thank you so much. So we'll talk to you later. All right.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure, Toy. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye now.
Bye.
Okay, I've been talking with Santu Eve Carter. And make sure, Santu, you can go ahead. Thank you so much for coming. You're all set for today. Thank you very much, Santu. We'll be seeing each other another time. And I just wanted to, Santu, yes, you may. Yep, you're all set for today. Thank you so much. You can leave now. For those of you that have been listening to my broadcast, I so appreciate you for doing so on Speak to Me First podcast show. Awesome, awesome guest today. It's very rare that you talk about grief in a way where you are not necessarily shedding tears. And sometimes as they become years down the road, it may be tears of joy where you're just thinking about how much you remember about this particular person that has passed away. And they may not be very close to you. It could be, you know, a friend or a colleague, if you will. Someone that you worked with and you had a relationship with at work or something like that. So it may not be your child. It may not be your mother or father or guardian or auntie or uncle. You may not have any bloodline ties with the person that was lost, but you feel a sense of the loss. You actually start to grieve, you know, over that person because they are no longer with you or in your space. So you go to work and you say, wait a minute, that person used to be here. They aren't anymore, and those kind of things. In my case, as I've shared in, along with my guests, the loss of my daughter, her name was Kiana with a Q. She was so beautiful. And, you know, I was in my early 20s. I share my story now and more than ever because there's someone out there that has gone through what I've gone through. There's another father out there that has gone through what my daughter's father has gone through. And they just refuse to talk about it. And what happens is you hold on to that, but there are beautiful memories. You have to take the memories and you have to run with that. You lean on your faith. If that's what it is for you, then by all means do that. If grief counseling is for you, by all means seek out counseling, whether it's a grief counselor or therapist or psychologist, whatever the level. If someone says after they speak to you and they believe that you need further counseling of some sort, make sure that you get second opinions. So there are no doctors in the house today. I'm certainly not one. I am just a woman that lost her daughter many years ago in my early 20s. I am starting to now talk more openly about the loss of my daughter and the loss that I still feel, because I realize it's not a one size fits all. And because of the loss of a child is the most traumatic loss that you can experience, now I understand why I still feel the way I feel throughout this journey. But it's not only a journey of loss. I feel it's almost a journey of gain that was talked about today, because I have so many good memories. And my daughter was of toddler age, was barely able to say mommy at the time before her passing. But, the fact that she, passed away due to congenital heart disease, this is something that I'm passionate about. So perhaps being a speaker at one of their events, and those kind of things, protecting my own heart. It happens to be National Heart Month. So it's Heart Month Awareness Month. It's February 2023. So again, there are so many things that can sort of counteract how you're feeling. If it's negative, you say, wait a minute, there's a positive energy here. And, I dig for that energy every day in every area of my life, whether it's career, educational, personal, you name it, even medical. Okay. So again, I want to thank my guests, both national as well as international. Today, my guest is based out of London, the UK. Awesome. Santou. Eve Carter. Make sure you check her out on LinkedIn and Facebook and beyond. For now, I want to give you my information. TJV empowers you, theletteru.com. TJV empowers you, theletteru.com. Make sure you check me out on all social media platforms, including LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. I have both a profile and a page. Make sure you like, share, and all of that inclusive. Don't forget to upload, or I should say like and subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is where my podcast show, Speak to Me First podcast show. You will get a link for this most recent podcast with my guest Santou Eve Carter. We were talking about grief, grief support, grief recovery, grief and loss of a loved one, and beyond. All of that will be on my subscribe to my YouTube channel, and I will upload that video there. For those of you who will only be able to listen to the audio, you can download Speak to Me First podcast show from your Apple or iPhone or Android phone, Google Cast, Spotify, Anchor FM. All of my episodes will be there. So with that said, I thank you so much for listening today. And as always, before I end my broadcast, I definitely want to say, Success is in your future. I'm Toy Johnson Vincent, your no sugarcoating coach. Bye for now.
Recordings.